Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Clint, bro, I love you, man.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Yeah, it is, baby. It is 5 o'clock fire. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney. Come on through, hang out. The beer is cold, the food is good, and the company is the best. All right, we got a little Thursday night football tonight. 4-1 Steelers at the 2-4 Bengals. Believe it or not, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I mean, I'm saying this mathematically, it's not the truth, but I mean, if you look at what this game means tonight, if the Pittsburgh Steelers win tonight, the division is a wrap.
Yeah, I mean,
they will have a 4-game lead on the entire division.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. They got one loss, and it's the same thing as you just said. They got one loss. The next best team right now being the Bengals have four. But as you mentioned, it's the Bengals that they're playing. So if they win the game, that gives the Bengals five losses. That means everybody in the division got five losses to the Steelers one. Yeah, you're right, man. It's a wrap. I got a tough time seeing them make up the ground any of the other teams.
They would be 5-1. The Bengals would be 2-5, and they would own the tiebreaker. So the Bengals would have to get to one more win than them, so they're chasing them. And there's just – it's. I know it's mathematically still – I mean, it's not possible this early in the season, but we're literally talking about – what is this, week 7?
Yeah.
Week 7 in the NFL, and the Steelers can all but wrap up their division with 10 damn games left to play, or 10 games left to play moving forward.
I mean, just think about the ground that would need to be made up by a Baltimore Ravens team that's been banged up, by a Browns team that is a disaster, and by a Bengals team that seems to always be banged up. Like, I don't see any of them being ideal candidates. Maybe the Ravens, you know, Lamar Jackson comes back and they start to figure things out. Maybe it's the Ravens, but even them, it's a long shot. So, yeah, the Steelers could do themselves a lot of favors if they handle business.
Well, here's a little nugget to make you believe Cincinnati's got a shot, if you will, is that the Pittsburgh Steelers are 0-6 on the road versus division opponents on Thursday Night Football.
Okay.
So inside the division, under Tomlin, they are 0-6. They're winless on Thursday Night Football inside the division under Tomlin. So if you're looking for a way to connect some dots, that means Cincinnati may have a chance there.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're Cincinnati at this point and you out there starting Joe Flacco, somebody that you had to trade for because your real quarterback is hurt and your backup quarterback, that the time ran out on that. I mean, you're looking at everything that you can cling to at this point, Clint.
Yeah, look, in all reality, I am absolutely stoked to watch Pittsburgh play tonight. I've not had a chance to watch much Aaron Rodgers this year. I'm talking about just sit and watch. I've obviously seen highlights, but I personally am a big Aaron Rodgers fan, and I love Aaron Rodgers coming back and playing again and playing well again and watching all the guys people that don't like Aaron Rodgers and the people that all of a sudden, you know, put the Pittsburgh Steelers out of their misery and talked about how stupid it was that they were going with him. I love to watch them squirm, but I'm a big fan of just good, really good veteran, smart, high-level processing quarterback play. And Aaron is doing that right now. I saw earlier 73%, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception in the red zone this year.
Yeah, I mean,
he's lighting it up, and he's a fun one to watch any way you slice
it. Well, what I love about it is really for both of them, for Aaron Rodgers and for the Steelers, right? It seems like Aaron Rodgers, at least since he left Green Bay, he was a regime away, right? It's like it wasn't that Aaron Rodgers was so bad. It was just that he got hurt, and then he was a part of a system or a situation with the Jets that you probably fairly could say nobody would thrive in. And then likewise, or on the other end, I would say with the Steelers, they seem to have everything going for them but the quarterback situation. So you see two parties that really needed each other. Aaron Rodgers needed the stability and the sensibility of what the Steelers bring to you. And then, of course, the Steelers needed a reliable quarterback, and they got that.
Well, and it looks like the Steelers' defense has gotten healthy, and they played significantly better. And so now it looks like they could be hitting on all cylinders, hitting stride here midseason. I mean, I'm a big fan of Dan Orlovsky as well, and I mean, anybody that watches that much film and analyzes that deeply, I typically lean towards those guys in terms of listening. And Dan's on the – I mean, he's on the – I mean, he's beating the table about. I mean, if Pittsburgh wins tonight, do they make a move for Chris Olave or what's the kid up in Garrett? The kid up in New York.
Yep.
Do they make a move for another receiver to put with DK Metcalf so they could actually be a legit Super Bowl contender? Which, by the way, when I hear that conversation, I put it in my back pocket because if the Texans can win and get back to 500 and come back home for a three-game home stretch and get this season somewhat right, I got to believe that they're going to be in the market for one of them game-changing wide receivers, possibly. And so I heard him say it about Pittsburgh, and I automatically start thinking about the Texans. But stoked to watch Aaron Rodgers tonight. Also, a big part of this is, look, you can say what you want about Flacco, but at the end of the day, Flacco has got some really good weapons out there, and I got to believe he's going to feed Ja'Marr Chase. I got to believe it.
Hey, as silly as it seemed for Cleveland to be in that position to be trading Flacco and not really understanding what they're doing with their quarterback situation overall, man, Flacco had to be glad to take that trip from Cleveland over to Cincinnati. Okay, he had some success in Cleveland a couple of years ago, but he ain't had no Ja'Marr Chase to throw to or no T. Higgins as an option.
He's in a
much better situation now in Cincinnati.
Yeah, look, well, now it makes a little more sense why Mike Tomlin was hot at Cleveland for trading Joe Flacco right now, because he's got Cincinnati this week. So not that it's going to be – I don't think it's going to matter. I think the Steelers take care of business. But anyway, it goes. Stay tuned in. Tyler's best bets. T. Mill's best bets. I don't know, but I hope Ja'Marr Chase overcatches – somehow finds its way on that list. We will see. That'll be coming up a little bit later in the 5 o'clock hour.
The sense of humor that the universe has.
5 o'clock fire.
This is big. A college coach that we've been talking a lot about this week and really over the last couple of college football seasons. Kurt Cignetti. A lot of talk about Penn State. Hell, I was of the belief that Penn State parted ways with James Franklin for several reasons. It needed to happen, but I thought it was to get a head start on their next coaching search. And I got to believe that Kurt Cignetti, the head coach at Indiana, was going to be probably the number one candidate on that list to take that job. I'll be honest with you, Matt Rhule doesn't turn me on a lot. I mean, yeah, he was good at Baylor, but I mean, it's been average at best. Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess Nebraska's better and they're doing some good things up there, but it's not top of the list on priority list with a coaching search if you're Penn State.
No, I feel like the shine is definitely worn off on the Matt Rhule thing. Like, he had his moment.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned the kind of the Baylor run, but it wasn't great in the NFL at Carolina. It's been better at Nebraska, but it feels like that time, you know, everybody kind of is hot for a minute, is the hot name. It feels like that time has come and gone for him.
Well, right now, Kurt Cignetti is the hot one. And Indiana said, over my dead body, Penn State, they have announced a new 8-year $93 million contract for their coach. This is an $11.6 million a year average salary for Kurt Cignetti. They just announced it today. Obviously, the 10-2 record last year, making a surprise run to the college football playoffs. And this year, the 6-0 start here with a big win over what many believe was the best team in the country in Oregon. They head to Michigan State this weekend. The Hoosiers athletic director Scott Dolson says Cignetti's new deal shows the school, Indiana, is all in. This, I'll be honest with you, this is a big boy move from a middle of the pack school at best, and I like it. I think the landscape of college football, I've said this about a lot of my college football conversations, kind of, you know, revolve around Arkansas, but it applies to places like Indiana, right? The middle of the pack football teams that in the past have had no business competing with the big boys. And, yep. and take that big boys. I mean, sometimes it's Florida State, this year it's not, but sometimes it's Alabama, this year, I don't know, they've been up and down kind of deal. But the Ohio State, you get it, the top, the blue bloods, the top programs in the country that have different rosters than anybody else. Those teams have always, it's been very difficult to compete up. It's a very steep hill to compete with those guys. It's still a steep hill to compete with those guys if you're a middle of the pack team, but the gap has been closed. Whether it's NIL, transfer portal, the money, the revenue sharing money, the ability to lean into how rich your state is or isn't, how rich your alumni base is or isn't, I think it's easier to compete for a middle of the pack school right now than it's ever been. And I'm going to tell you, there's, when I was at Arkansas, two straight years, we were competitive and had chances to make runs at the conference championship, and we didn't have these advantages. Yeah. We couldn't go get LSU's four stars that they didn't want to play. We couldn't go get Alabama's five star that had been in the weight room with them guys for 4 years and had 1 year left. We couldn't do that, right? You can do it nowadays, and I think Indiana's capitalizing on a lot of that.
I can tell you, man, the timing of this is amazing, because this is really what I was getting at with my question to Danny Cannell earlier in the show of, hey, are we sure that Penn State is still a better job than Indiana? And he did a good job of illustrating why that is. But my whole point is what yours just was, is how the gap has closed. And Danny was basically saying this as well in his answer, how, you know, it's a lot closer than it was before. To me, everything that you just laid out, the NIL transfer portal, the new college football landscape or the terms of doing business, so to speak, to me has redefined what a blue blood is and what the middle class exactly is. Yeah. Because of that shortening of the gap or that shrinking of the gap, to me, now the difference between the blue blood and the up-and-comer or the mid-major or middling school, however you want to look at it, is negligible, because you got teams like Indiana. I mean, who thought, again, I said this earlier, who thought they would live long enough to see Indiana become a football school? Yeah. And it's not to say that they actually are a football school yet, but they are taking football seriously. They're paying their head coach $11.5 million dollars a year and up in the ante. So that is something of note itself.
We're watching it happen right before our eyes with Indiana. We're watching it happen with Texas Tech. Yep. We're watching it happen, you know, last year with Arizona State and Boise State. Now, a lot of that has to do with the college football playoff expansion.
Yeah.
When you put that 12 teams versus four or even two back in the day, so now 12 can get in, and you can go scout everybody's team and take all their backups, all their four and five stars. You can pay them whatever. You can win in recruiting and getting these guys in. If you've got a Walmart and a J.B. Hunt and a Tyson right there in your backyard, you can change the game. And I think it's, look, I don't think the Wild Wild West is the way to do it in college football, but in college sports, I don't think it's got to be done differently. But I love the way that what they are doing does somewhat close that gap between the middle of the pack schools and the schools that have obviously been paying players for years.
Think about it, Clint. TCU competed for a national championship just a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and that was early on.
College ball expansion. That was before expansion.
Before expansion and early on in the NIL days. Yeah. And I do wonder how many of the smaller schools or the middle of the pack schools, if you will, saw that and said, hey, if that, and I know, I understand TCU didn't do nothing once they got to the national championship game, but just their existence in that game, I wonder how much that did for the Indianas and Texas Techs and the Arkansas, whoever, Missouri's of the world, to say, you know what, that could be us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who would have thought Kurt Cignetti would have took 14 guys from Madison? What was it?
James Madison.
Yeah. And turned it into a $93 million contract.
Hey, it's good work if you can get it.
Hell of a deal.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, on the Astros front, Tyler, is there any news on how this happened with Jeff Blum?
I read about it yesterday, but I cannot remember. Let me look at it.
Well, Jeff, I've read the whole thing. It doesn't say how it happened, but Jeff Blum posted a photo Monday morning from a hospital bed holding up a marked up right hand prepared for surgery, complete with a purple and blue ring finger. So apparently the Astros injuries, they don't stay on the diamond, and it doesn't just pertain to the the team. It looks like it's starting to take out the damn the guys in the booth.
Hey, look, speedy recovery and all the best wishes to Blummer, to Jeff Blum. But it does feel like it was only fitting for it to extend beyond just the pitching staff, beyond just Isaac Paredes, beyond Yordan Alvarez, right. That even all the way up to the broadcast booth, we can't get right. We can't stay healthy.
Well, the good news
I found what
is,
happened, Clint, if you want to know.
What is it? What is it?
He was playing in a charity softball game. Old Jeff Blum was playing in the Texas Veterans Athletic Association's charity softball game, which featured celebrities like Blum and Daniel Stump, both former players. And he says, Blum said, I grossly underestimated how intense the game would be. Softballs are not soft. I went with the two-hand approach, and my bare hand got a little quick, and I took one off the end of the finger, and I broke it.
He's out there trying to use good technique, good mechanics in that softball game. Good news is he said that no rehab start will be needed. He'll be 2 weeks out, and he'll be back. He'll be
all
back
right.
In
the well, that's good. We won't have to waste Jeff Blum away in Sugar Land for no time. Come straight up to the big league ball club. I'm about it.
All right, look, yesterday I framed it as the Texans. This is the last chance for you to buy in this on this Monday night to Seattle Seahawks. I got to ask B. Scott, is this a must-win game for the Houston Texans? That right there is next.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, yes indeed. Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. T-Mills on the ones and twos behind the glass. We got T-Mills best bets coming up. And ladies and gentlemen, he is on a heater once again. Yesterday or 2 days ago was a little rough. But last night he got back on that 4-for-4 heater, and
yes!
We got Thursday night football, so I would imagine that there's going to be several bets that you that you're going to like. And as I said before, when Tyler gets on a hot streak, you just got to pick one or two every now and then, and you can get in on the action and win a little bit. Now, don't get carried away. But T-Mill's best bets are coming up next. And I do want to remind everybody out there, download the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. There is a rewind feature on that Odyssey app. You can rewind. We had Danny Cannell on talking college football at 3 o'clock. We had D'Amico Ryans at 3:40, and we had C.J. Stroud at 4:40. Their pressers in full. So if you want to go back and listen to any of that, you can do it with that rewind feature on that Odyssey app. Very, very easy, very user-friendly. And besides that, keep that Odyssey app. Keep us on your hip. Take us everywhere you go. And you never know. There was one time we was giving away $20,000 in all expense paid for four, I think, to Vegas, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was one of those Odyssey contests.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you never know what kind of treats you might get, whether that be on a remote, come see us out in person like we are right now in New Caney, or if that's through the app itself, man, all kind of treats are around here with Odyssey.
That's it. And congratulations to our winners today. Gave away a portable cornhole set, as well as a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop, closest location to where we are right now. We're at $59.99.
A little D'Amico Ryans and J.J. Watt
there. There you go. That's easy to remember.
The corner of D'Amico and J.J. right here.
The nearest Texas Star Grill Shop, I just found out, is $45.99. So right around the corner right there. So there you have. We've got a big matchup this week, or Monday, actually. So we, as Texans fans, we can actually just sit back and relax and have us a – for the second weekend in a row, watch college football, watch Sunday football.
That's true.
And then get geared up for the Texans and the Seahawks on Monday night. Monster game, I believe. I know they like to try to say, hey, it's just another game, just the next game. We short-term memory. We forget the last one. We go move on to the next one. This is a monster game. As I've said a million times, do you get to 3-3 and then come home for a three-game homestand feeling really good about your football team and the product that you're putting on the field, because you didn't just beat a beat-up Baltimore and a terrible team that just fired their head coach in Texas Tennessee Titans, but you literally took it on the road versus a really, really, really good, one of the top NFC teams right now, and you put it on them in their place. If you come back at 3-3, or you come back 2-4, and I think this thing starts sliding the wrong direction. So, yeah. Monster game this week.
Yeah, and I think it's just fine for them to look at it a little bit. Like, it's fine for them to be one-track minded, but that doesn't mean, like, I'm good with them sort of suspending reality here a little bit and just saying, hey, we're going to focus on the task at hand. We can't get ahead of ourselves. Yeah. We can't look back. We can't look ahead, because that's not going to do anything for today. That's perfectly fine for them to do as the team, as the coaches, as the players. But for us, and like really giving proper context to the moment and what it actually represents and what it actually means, yeah, man, to me it is it's absolutely a game that they got to have, and it can do a lot in terms of narrative shifting for the Houston Texans.
Well, that's the question, B. Scott. Yesterday I framed it as you know, is this the last chance for you to buy into this team and believe that that this team, this iteration of the Texans, can go win a Super Bowl and or even get in the playoffs and make some noise? Well, today I want to frame it as, is this game, this Seattle Seahawks game, a must-win football game? And look, I understand it's not about one game. The question is obviously about one specific game because it's the next one. But the reality of it is if the Texans don't continue to build off of what they did in Tennessee and what they did – or I'm sorry, against Tennessee and what they did in Baltimore, if this thing looks more like what it did in the 0-3 stretch, then I think the Texans have got major, major problems. So the question is this a must-win game, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's a must-win game when you're looking up at a team that only has one loss. And I think that by the end of the day, Sunday, by the time they actually play this game on Monday, we'll know a lot more about whether it's a must-win or what position they're in, because those games, the rest of the division will have played.
Yeah.
So we'll know if Indianapolis won. We'll know if Jacksonville won or lost. And we'll have a better sense for how desperate the Texans are in this position. But I think that as long as you're behind in the division, every game that you play up until you catch up is certainly a must-win game. And then in terms of how we talk about the team, I mean, think about how differently we'll talk about them whether they win or whether they lose. They win the game, and now we're cooking with grease. We're talking about a team that still has all of its sights in front of them, all of their aspirations and goals that they had going into the season are still sort of real, not just realistic, but things that we can really kind of pick apart and talk about.
Yeah.
They go out there and look similar to the way they did the first few weeks of the season, or they fall flat, or it's not competitive, or again, they get dominated up front. This defensive line that they're facing against the Seattle Seahawks is a serious front. If they don't look like they can handle it, not only would losing the game hurt them mathematically, I think that part goes without saying, but when I talk about narrative shifting, when I talk about how we discuss the team, we'll come in on a Tuesday very deflated about where the team is and how they stack up against the better teams in the league. I know earlier in the week you did this as well. You made this point that the product on the field that the Texans have shown you so far, they look more like the upper echelon. They're closer to the top half of the league than they are the bottom. That's the way we feel based off of the last couple of games.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, based on how they play in this game, will, I think, turn the ledger or put you in one direction or the other. It'll either validate that point that you made,
yeah,
or it'll contradict it, and you'll say, well, you know what? We thought that last week, but the first time they went and played against a viable opponent, they didn't show up,
yeah,
right? Like right now, I think you can look at their opponents and do a lot of excuse making. Oh, yeah, sure. I see it all the time on our text line.
Absolutely.
And our YouTube, social media chats. Everywhere. All they did, anytime we post something positive about the Texans over the last couple of weeks, oh, Clint, all they did was play against the Titans. All they did was play against a banged-up Ravens team.
Yeah.
Oh, don't stroke a team that's only beat a beleaguered team. Well, this would be the first shot that they get against a legitimate team with very few weaknesses. Now, they don't do it, and it validates all of the naysayers and detractors that thought we were giving them a little bit too much credit, yeah, for what they did over the last couple,
yeah,
of weeks.
Yeah, and B. Scott, look, I think this is a must-win game. And now, do I think that there is a way that the Texans can go out there and play well and just come up short on the scoreboard?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Look, I mean, anything's possible, and definitely – they could go out there and do some really good things offensively, kind of build on what they've done. Sure, they could do that and play a tight game and on the road. But I just firmly believe this. I believe if what we watched from no penalties to no sacks, I mean, not very few, not I know there was no, but very few sacks, great protection of the quarterback, the quarterback's brand of football that he was playing, the play caller spreading the ball around to several different receivers. I think 9 different players caught balls in that Baltimore game.
Not turning the ball over.
Not turning it over. Like, if all of those things transition and you just come up short on a scoreboard,
yeah,
then maybe – then we'll circle back and be a different conversation. I just firmly believe if that happens, I believe if and when that happens, I don't care who the opponent is, if the Texans are able to do that offensively, I believe they are going to be a very difficult team to beat.
Yeah.
And I would – I believe that if they do that and show any signs of what they did previously, the last 2 weeks, I believe they go on the road and they beat Seattle.
Yeah.
The question is what offense shows up?
Yeah, what offense shows up, but also, like, how you perform against a team that can get after the quarterback, right? So
yeah,
now you've shown us that you can block it, that you can protect it. Okay, a team that is stingy in the run game, are you able to run it even just a little bit?
Yeah.
That could go a long way.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the big playability of a Jaxon Smith-Njigba and what Sam Darnold has been able to do in his short time there so far. If you're able to slow down what has been one of the more explosive and prolific offenses in all of football, then that would say a lot about the football team that you have.
Yeah. I think one thing that's been really impressive with Nick Caley over the last two weeks, and I will use 2 weeks because I think it was there early in the Tennessee game. I think CJ missed him, but – their ability to be really conservative for the most part and then go, okay, now's the time.
Yeah.
Right? Now's the time to strike. And they have hit on, like, he's been able to scheme essentially throws in the ocean touchdowns for a guy as talented as C.J. Stroud. He schemed at least one touchdown and another explosive in that Tennessee game early on that C.J. missed or didn't even throw. And then obviously the Higgins one that he did hit. Right, and then you look at Baltimore. Hell, they were all over the place. But I mean, it was that part of it has been really impressive. If he can do that, timely shots, and when you dial them up, you know the it's in your favor, right? You're getting the right coverage, you're getting the right rush, you're getting the right look, and then you can hit those. If you can just do that, it's going to be a major game changer. But either way it goes, I think it's a must-win game. I think you come home 2-4. I think you're in trouble. That's where I'm at. All right, is the Rockets, the Houston Rockets. They play tonight as well. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, yes, but also the Rockets and the Hawks. Is the Rockets' ceiling as a basketball team, is this ceiling of this Rockets team higher with no Fred VanVleet available. That right there is next on Sports Radio 610.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive. Combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control, or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals, or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out, B. Scott is in, and I'm going to tell you, Bud Light does a hell of a job, man. A lot of folks around here drinking them Bud Lights, and then they brought the football version of Papa Shot, and so if I seem a little bit out of breath, I got over here and somehow didn't move anything but my right arm, and I still can't breathe. But
same.
Me and B. Scott just shattered the record right after the Bud Light girls left. I guess they...
I'm proud of you guys, man.
I mean, we both just shattered the record back-to-back, man.
That's how you represent out there, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that's how... Too bad the officials are gone. I don't know what the hell happened, man. Are they in the restroom?
We got witnesses, though.
Damn zebras.
I mean, they're just going to leave their game here or what?
I take that thing home, man. I'm in a Navigator today. I let them seats down, and we'll go home with it.
All right, man. Look, we want to appreciate everybody. Thank you for everybody for coming out. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, man, Buffalo Wild Wings is a great place to catch all of your live sports that happen throughout the week, but definitely Thursday night football, Thirsty Thursday. Big shout out to Bud Light for making it happen, and big shout out to Texas Star Grill Shop for that gift card that we were able to give away a little while ago. B. Scott, before we get to T-Mill's best bets, which we will get to here pretty quickly, we got to – got a couple of games tonight, man. You got the Thursday night football with the Steelers and the Bengals. We'll get to that. But for right now, I want to talk about the Rockets. The Rockets wrap up their preseason action tonight in Atlanta, 6:30. And it's one of the dress rehearsals. It's a game that's going to be, you know, at least for the first, I don't know, three quarters, at least for the yep. It's going to be treated like a regular season game. And I've just got questions, man. I've only watched one preseason game, and I'm already jacked about watching this team moving forward. But I do have a real question. Look, it's unfortunate. I wish we had Fred VanVleet. I hate that Fred VanVleet is out for the season. I hate he messed up his knee. I was looking forward to seeing him, especially after what he did last year in the playoffs. But the reality of it is, no Fred VanVleet. You lose your real point guard on this team. And if there's going to be any point guard, true point guard action moving forward, it's going to take certain guys developing and getting that run. But the question right now is the Rockets' ceiling higher as a team with no Fred VanVleet to take minutes off the floor? When you look at the guys that are going to replace him, you're talking top-tier athletes. You're talking about guys that are going to run. You're talking about a different brand of basketball, and it takes all kind. I get it. I understand. I would rather have Fred VanVleet, but when he's not there, if these other guys take the steps that you think they're going to take just naturally, is the ceiling for this Rockets team, say, beyond midseason and into the playoffs, potentially higher?
I think it is, because they've got higher ceiling guys that are being tasked with filling that role.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not one guy that's going to replace Fred VanVleet. It's not going to be one guy that's going to be able to step into that role and be what Fred VanVleet was for this team. But the mixture of guys that they're going to rely on to do that, whether it's Amen Thompson, Reed Shepard, Alperen Şengün, even though it's going to look different from that position, but in terms of being a facilitator and a connector, they're going to ask all three of those guys to step up a bit and help fill that role. And to that end, every single one of those guys, to me at least, is a higher ceiling guy.
Yeah.
And one of the criticisms, I mentioned this earlier in the show, but one of the criticisms of the Rockets over the last couple of years is that they have been too Fred VanVleet reliant, or when Fred VanVleet has not been available to them, and unfortunately for them, it's happened each of the last two seasons, just not to this degree where he's out the entire year, but it misses at least 10 to 20 games over the last 2 years, and each of those last 2 years. And whenever he's been out, they've been a hopeless outfit without him. They haven't really known up from down, and that's on both ends of the floor, whether that's getting them to their sets or that's getting them in right position defensively. Yeah. He is probably an underrated piece to that puzzle on the defensive end of the floor. But Amen Thompson's supposed to figure that part out right now. Is he's a all-NBA defensive guy. They're going to ask him to guard the best player, but also be one of the main communicators, as they are with Alperen Şengün on the back end. So I think that between all three of these guys, Alperen Şengün, Amen Thompson, Reed Shepard, every single one of those guys being a higher ceiling guy, you're being forced now, because of the Fred VanVleet injury, you're being forced now to rely on them a lot more than you did before. And it'll be a sink or swim type of situation. But if it is swim, if they are able to handle it and live up to the expectation and to the billing, then it should absolutely be a higher ceiling team, because those are higher ceiling players that you're asking to fill the Fred VanVleet role.
Now, to your point, there may be a little lower floor as well, because you don't have Fred VanVleet to raise that thing up, steady the waters a bit.
Because if it goes south, then it's the opposite of what we're saying.
Bingo, right. Yeah, I mean, you get into a game where some of the youngsters aren't doing what they typically are capable of doing, and you don't have anybody to get in there and tighten the ship up a little bit. And maybe you do. Maybe that guy emerges. But I look at this team, B. Scott, and I'm watching them the other night in that preseason game, and it's, you know, when you – there is – it's all gas, no brakes on them cats. I mean, even with KD, the way KD plays, is it's up-tempo, and it's all gas, no brakes. And then all of a sudden, there's no – they bring – I can't remember who went out. They were in the double big lineup, so maybe it was one of the bigs, and then Tari Eason comes in, and Tari Eason's a high-motor guy.
Yep.
It just seems like every guy you plug in, is the motor just continues to rev. There's no slowing it down whatsoever.
Yeah, I think the best way to look at it, this is at least how I look at it, the floor is lower and the ceiling is higher.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Like if the bottom is let out,
mm-hmm.
and we're just talking about specifically filling this role that Fred VanVleet, the void that Fred VanVleet's injury leaves for you, I feel like the ceiling is a lot higher, but the floor is a lot lower.
Sure.
Because of the stability and the reliability that you have in Fred VanVleet at that position. Could it go south? Could it go bad? Certainly it could. But if these guys are what I think the Rockets believe they are and what they appear to be in smaller doses, then they absolutely should be able to step up and do this.
The other part of it too, B. Scott, is for me anyway, is that, you know, there was a time when Fred VanVleet was really the only guy on the roster that could be the steadier of the ship, so to speak.
Sure.
Like right now, you look at it, I would think that KD's got his basketball IQs through the roof.
Yes.
He's going to be on the floor more times than not down the stretch. So, I mean, he's got the ability to do some of those things that Fred VanVleet was really responsible for last year. So we'll see. I just think the ceiling could potentially be, and I'm not even talking about like if the Reed Shepherd develops into this point guard, or if Amen Thompson appears to get a little bit more control and kind of be a little more selective when he wants to be balls to the wall. I'm talking about if those guys just take a natural, you know, small baby step in the right direction. I mean, I still think you got a higher ceiling.
Well, and to oversimplify it for me, I think that more Amen Thompson is a good thing,
yeah.
Right? Like the more the ball is in Amen Thompson's hands, I feel like the better that the Rockets are going to be. So that's kind of the way that I'm looking at it.
All right, Rockets tonight, 6:30. They got the Atlanta Hawks. Also Thursday night football, Pittsburgh Steelers and Cincinnati Bengals. And of course, you got Tyler's best bets coming up, T-Mill's best bets coming up. I know I'm butchering that, T. I'm sorry. But also, before we get to T-Mill's best bets, though, I do want to remind everybody, come out tomorrow. We are Football Friday in Kingwood. Football Friday, Kingwood at BB's. We will be giving away Texans tickets. We'll be giving away Academy Sports and Outdoors gift cards. And so tomorrow's a big day out at BB's in Kingwood. And those tickets are courtesy of our Houston area Ford dealers.
Boys, so I'm so sorry, Clint. I thought you were wrapping up. We just got a Texans injury report, but that can wait.
Oh, is there anything on it that we need?
I was just going to mention it because it's our first one of the week. Jalen Reed shows up with a knee, but he was a full participant today. And then, oh my gosh, Danico Autry, a full participant as well.
Yeah, okay. Those are the two guys that are what do they got this week? Is this week three or is this week two for them?
Well, I feel like the ramp up started the last week, right? Going into the bye, at least with Jalen Reed for sure.
Well, no, they were both on the inactive list a game ago in the Baltimore game. So it was that week, the bye week, and then this week is their 3 weeks. I don't know if I don't know if the bye week counts as one of their weeks to decide whether they're back or not.
Well, either way, full participant is good. Like, if they got them on there as full participant.
Right. But they've got to put them on. My point was they got to make a decision on those guys where they come back from the roster.
I think both of those guys are available.
So they're on it. Okay,
yeah, both of those guys are available, Danico Autry and Jalen Reed. As a matter of fact, I thought I was even kind of looking out for Jalen Reed earlier in the week. So it's good to see he's a full participant.
Good deal. That sounds good. All right, T-Mill. But what you got for them best bets, my man?
Yeah, no big deal. We just went perfect 4-for-4
no
again
biggie.
Last night. You know,
no biggie.
Another day in the life. Let's clock in and do it again, huh? Four more tonight. Thursday Night Football gets week 7 started around the NFL. It's the Icy Hot Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco. What year is it? But I got 4 bets. First, I got the Steelers -4 tonight at the Cincinnati Bengals. Next, I'm on the under in this game. It's been fluctuating a bit today, but I got mine at Steelers-Bengals under 45 tonight. And then 2 player props. They're both receivers, but for both squads. DK Metcalf for the Steelers. I have over 4.5 receptions for him tonight. I think Aaron Rodgers will be looking his way early and often. And then the receiver for the Bengals here, T. Higgins, over 47.5 receiving yards for T. Higgins. I did look at the bet you mentioned earlier, Clint, with Jamar Chase. And that over-under for receptions was set at 6.5. And I just didn't love that, man. I think he could get 6, but that hook was scaring me.
You're the one that's on fire, brother. You're the one that's on fire. I'm going to go that DK Metcalf with you if you got room for me.
Oh, I got room for you, bro. Let's ride.
Let's do it.
I like your Higgins bet. I mean, especially if it's going to be along the lines of your logic of not loving the Jamar Chase bet. I mean, I'm following along with your gambling logic here. Don't love the Chase bet, but like the Higgins bet. I'm right there with you now.
Would you like me to put some money on that for you, B?
Put my money where my mouth is.
Come on.
Go on, put a little bit of money on
that.
Yo,
let's go.
Why not? Let's make it happen, baby. Let's go. Let's do it.
You done roped him in, T.
Why not?
You done roped him in, T. All right, if you missed those best bets right there, you can go to @TMillRealDeal and pick them back up and see what you're missing on. He's been hot lately, y'all. He has been hotter than a firecracker. And all you got to do is pick one to get in. I picked mine. I'm going with DK Metcalf. I need 5 catches, big fella. All right, Texans All Access is up next, 6 to 8 p.m. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, they're going to have The Hall of Famer John McClain will be live at 6 p.m. to preview Monday Night Football, Texans in Seattle. Thursday Night Football, courtesy of Westwood One, starts at 7 tonight. So, obviously, it's 6 to 7 p.m. with Vandy and John Harris, not 6 to 8 p.m. So, pick your poison. Just make sure you stay plugged into Sports Radio 610. B. Scott, T. Mill, I'm Clint Sterner. We love you, Houston. Hey, you don't. You never stray too far from protection. Perfection.
So many ways I can take that.
Perfection or protection.
I mean, Red just said it best, man.
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.
There it is. There you go, Red. Tell him about it.
Make sure he bags it.
Cycle T is here.
All right, thanks, Tyler. Let's roll.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.